Much, Mr. Hand. Nothing wrong with having a few Gregs around. Well, isn't it quite wonderful and exciting to all gather together here once more at God's Feast of Tabernacles? Hopefully by this time everyone has arrived and settled in on their accommodations, beginning to look forward to a truly spiritually uplifting and also a physically enjoyable feast. And as we can tell by the sweat we broke crossing the parking lot to get in here, we have beautiful weather this year again to allow you to participate in the various outdoor activities that are abundant here while observing God's feast. There are a few outdoor activities that cross my mind. Just swimming, wading, paddleboarding, jet skiing, parasailing, collecting seashells, swimming with the dolphins, fishing off the pier, deep sea fishing, taking a sunset cruise, riding a catamaran, taking a jet boat ride, taking an airboat ride, going on a pirate cruise, spending time at arcades, going bowling, going skating, going shopping, catching a movie, tour a winery, snorkel, scuba dive, dive on a shipwreck, take pictures, get your picture taken, ride go-karts, ride scooters, ride golf carts, ride motorcycles, play miniature golf, play goofy golf, play actual golf, take a helicopter ride, go for a hike, rent a pontoon boat, visit the trampoline park, visit the zoo park, visit the Man of the Sea Museum, ride the Skywheel, or if you're more to my taste, you can just sort of suntan slash sunburn, sitting around on the beach, and view a spectacular sunset. And that is before we start talking about the food. In other words, it is very easy to get distracted and lose sight of some of the opportunities that we have during these 8 days to draw closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I wanted to kind of follow up on one of the themes from Mr. Austin's message from last night, where he told us to be sure to take advantage of every day during this Feast of Tabernacles. And I want to focus on things that we need to keep in mind while we're enjoying those wonderful physical activities that are so abundant here. During the time when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ walked on the earth, during their celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles at that time, there was a ceremony that had become a important central focus of the traditions of the festival. It was called the Water Libation Ceremony. The water libation ceremony was part, a daily part of the Feast of Tabernacles, and it was one of excitement and celebration. The priests would go down to the Pool of Siloam in the city of David, just south of where the Western Wall is today, and they would fill a golden vessel with water there. Then they would go up to the temple through the water gate, accompanied by the sound of the shofar and the shouts of the people attending. And then they would pour the water so that it flowed over the altar, along with wine from another bowl. This would begin the prayers for rain in earnest. And there was much rejoicing at this ceremony. A thirsty person really has a focus on obtaining water. This idea that they needed to get annual rainfall and water in the area brought on much excitement as we brought this before God, expecting God to hear our prayers and to give us rain so that we could have crops. We all have understood that this was what was being performed on that last day of the feast when Christ made his proclamation that if any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. That was actually mentioned on the Sabbath there in John 7:38. During the feast this year, here in Panama City Beach, We have then a daily opportunity to drink in of that living water that is Jesus Christ. I wanted to go to Isaiah chapter 12. I get to stay in Isaiah 12. It's not a long chapter. There's only six verses in this chapter in Isaiah. They're not a great deal. And it is one of joy and celebration. We have just read through, or we have come through the book of Isaiah 11. We read where the earth would be full of the knowledge of the Lord, a time we recognize as being millennial in vision, as this feast then pictures for us. Many verses in Isaiah 11 that we would recognize as childs being able to play on the viper's den, ideas of this millennial time. Then we pick up in Isaiah 12 with these words. And I wanted to read this from the New Life version of the Bible. Verse 1 says, "You will say on that day," in this millennial setting, it says, "We will say, I will give thanks to you, O Lord. Even though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. See, God saves me. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and song, and he has become the one who saves me. As water from a well brings joy to the thirsty, so people have joy when he saves them." There is a very pertinent idea for people that are in an arid climate, is that water is able to save you. Just as Jesus Christ's sacrifice is able to save us, to provide eternal life for us. So my first point then is we are, every day during these 8 days, we have an opportunity to give thanks to God and call upon his name and make known his works. In verse 4 of Isaiah 12, it says, "In that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his works among the people. Help them remember that his name is honored." That's a large part of our feast here, isn't it? Throughout the feast, we're gathered together as a group, giving honor to God, coming before him in assemblies, picturing this millennial reign, and supporting one another in fellowship, and being a sign to the world that there are people that are serving God, who are willing to go and to serve God, to leave their homes, to travel, to go to a place where God has placed his name, and observe his Feast of Tabernacles. So every day, just coming before God here in this assembly, we give thanks and we call upon his name and we make his name, his works known, and we remember his name is honored. We honor God's name in doing this on a daily basis. Point number 2 is sort of interesting. We sing praise to God. Verse 5 says, "Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done great things. Let this be known in all the earth." Every day at services, we're coming before singing praises to God. At the Feast of Tabernacles, you get a little better opportunity to just kind of sing out, because you're blending in with everyone else. And so if you're a little bit, tinny or out of tune, it just blends right in and it sounds beautiful. I'm sure you could ask Mr. Hand that he could confirm that it is just a beautiful thing to giving that praise to God through song. We do that throughout these 8 days. Point 3 is we then are able to cry out to God in prayer. We have opening and closing prayers, and I'm sure every one of us has their own prayers that they are offering throughout the day, throughout the feast, as we're here worshiping God in that way. Verse 6 then says, "Call out and sing for joy, O people of Zion, for the Holy One of Israel is great among you." So we have this opportunity then to, as we're away from the world, we're away from our jobs and the stresses of our daily lives, to be able to focus a little more to God in prayer in that way for 8 days here among brethren of like mind. As we mentioned in John 7, that Jesus Christ pointed out to those who were celebrating the water libation ceremony that the true water, the living water, is not drawn from a well here on earth. It didn't come from the pool of Siloam. The living water flows out from God and is able to give us eternal life. Much like that daily water ceremony during the time of Christ, we can and we should spend a portion of every day of the feast drinking in of the living water that is Jesus Christ. I want to go to one more place here while we're still in Isaiah. Over to Isaiah 58, and just one verse here. Verse 11. And I'm going to read this out of the NIV. Isaiah 58, verse 11. It says, "The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land." Water is so very important in that sun-scorched land. "And will strengthen your frame." Our true spiritual strength comes from God through Jesus Christ. Then he goes on to say, "You will be like a well-watered garden." If you have a garden that is well-watered, not over-watered, just well-watered, where it gets plenty of water, does so well, doesn't it? All of the crops in there just do so much better when they're well-watered. You will be that way. You will be a light to the world in that way of being shown to be following God. But then it goes on a little further to say, like a spring whose waters never fail. God is not only able to give us the living water that gives us eternal life in his kingdom, but he is able, through the sacrifice of his son and through our commitment to God and Jesus Christ, to make us a source of this same life-giving water that will go forth and be an eternal spring, bringing life to the world. God's able to pass that power that he gave to his son, Jesus Christ, on through us, that we're able then to pass that on to the world. Well, brethren, this time of this Feast of Tabernacles does picture where the world will finally see the need to turn to God for water that is life-giving.